And now today we're entering into Acts 16. There's a paper on your seats if you don't have your Bibles with you that has all the verses 16, 1 through 34. I know it says 24 on there, and on your paper it actually goes to 24. We're going to go to 34, but I don't think we're going to read it all. We're only going to read up to 24. And so I'm going to break it up, and I'm going to start in verse 1. You guys there? Now Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brothers and sisters who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to leave with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I'm going to stop right there. This is like one part of the Bible, man. One part of the Bible where I'm just like, I don't agree with Paul. I'm like, we just found out in the previous chapter that circumcision wasn't necessary for salvation. And yet, to appease the people, he circumcised. I just feel bad for Timothy, man. I feel bad for Timothy. You know, he wasn't 8 days old. He was a man. Oh, Pastor Rich said he knew he was going to be taking him into his synagogue. So he had to chop him. <Just kidding. laughs> Anyway, he's all in. Verse 4, now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees for them to follow, which had been determined by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. What are the decrees? This was what Pastor Rich was talking about last week from Acts 15. It was to abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, things strangled, and from fornication. And the reason B is that all of this led to idolatry. Yes. Right? And so the whole point of it was to be pure and to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind. Verse 5, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region after being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Excuse me. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, we immediately sought to leave from Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so in the beginning, I want to focus on verses 6 through 10, because it gives two descriptions of a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And if you're wondering what those are, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. This is Paul also speaking to the church in Corinth, and I'll just read it. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. If you turn to my next slide. And so these are the nine gifts that I just read from 1 Corinthians. You have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, you have the gift of faith, the gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various tongues, and interpretation of tongues. You can go to the next one. actually go to the next one. I have them backwards. You can break that list actually up into a category, which you have your revelatory gifts, your power gifts, and your speech gifts. So the revelatory gifts are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the distinguishing of spirits. It's a revelation given to you by God. You have the power gifts, which is the gift of faith, healing, and miracles. And then you have the gift of speech, which is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. It's just a good way to categorize it and to understand it. You can go to the previous one now. Okay. So a word of knowledge, it is a supernatural revelation of information. It is given by the Holy Spirit. It is knowledge received apart from natural analysis. So I couldn't look at somebody and with a cast on and say your arm is broken, because that's natural. I can see that their arm is broken, right? But God can put a thought in my mind, or he can give me physical pain in my body. There's many other ways, and I'm going to go in that in a minute. So it's a supernatural communication with God to minister to other people. And it's not just to minister to other people. It's just supernatural knowledge of facts from God. And it is a fact. And then we have the word of wisdom. This is a supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit that gives a person wisdom in making decisions. This can be with or without facts, with or without the knowledge of why you are doing it. So if we go back to our scripture, Paul actually gets a word of wisdom without the facts, right? In verse 6, it says, they're passing through the Phrygian and Galatian region after being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go in Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow him. So God has given them a word of wisdom. He's leading them right now, but he's not explaining why. We don't find out the why until he receives the word of knowledge in the next verses. And verse 9, he says, then a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, we immediately sought to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So now he receives a word of knowledge through a vision. And he knows why the Holy Spirit was keeping him from going to Asia and the other regions, because he wants him to go to Macedonia to preach the gospel for a particular reason and purpose. So that's a good illustration of the two. I believe, actually, that the word of wisdom is the most common gift of the Spirit. I believe it's his voice. I lump the word of wisdom up to just his voice, to his voice. He's constantly trying to lead us. He's constantly giving us advice on what to do, what not to do, how to live, to remain pure, all these things, right? And yet, we choose not to. I believe that we have a word of wisdom every single day. But instead, we use our logic, we use our reason, we use our understanding, we use our desires to trump his voice. I think when you're a newer Christian, like when you just come to the faith, right? I don't want to say that you have a better excuse, but I think that you are learning, right? You're learning his voice. But after you've been a Christian for a long time and you've actually been with him and sitting still with him and being intimate with him, you get to know his voice more, and you get to understand, and you get to hear him and know that it's his voice that you are hearing, right? So when it gets to that point, ignorance is out the window, right? You could be ignorant for a little bit in the beginning. This is just my opinion, right? This isn't scripture, but this is just my opinion. I believe that in the beginning, there's a little grace, right? But if you've been a Christian for years and years and years and years, you should know how to hear his voice. And especially if it comes to sin, right? If it comes to sin, I mean, that's just black and white. But I believe that he gives us a word of wisdom every single day, and it is my prayer that just as Pastor Rich was speaking last week, that we would consecrate ourselves to him, holy. He deserves every bit of us, every single bit of us. I'm going to go into the words of knowledge. I think I have more slides. Okay, so these are ways to receive a word of knowledge. And we use this a lot for healing. When I say we, I'm talking about Jesus and, but really it should be all Christians. There are 7 ways that I've been taught it. And so you can feel it, you can see it, you can read it, you can think it, you can say it, you can dream it, and you can experience it. And I'm going to go through these and I'm going to give some testimonies. So feeling it is actually my second most common way that I receive words of knowledge. So I feel a physical pain in my body, right? And I'm going to give this testimony because I think it goes good because it teaches how to be able to know who it's for. There was this one time when I was in Hawaii. I went inside this store. It was a Christian clothing store. It was called Blessed. And I'm walking in the store and my foot starts to hurt. And so I leave the store, and as I'm with a friend, and as I leave the store, my foot stops hurting. All right? And so I looked at my friend and I'm like, I think somebody in that store has a problem with their foot. And so he's like, well, let's go back in. And so we go back in, we start walking around, and as soon as we get like close to the counter or the register, it's like throbbing. And so it starts getting worse and worse and worse and worse until it's like right in the vicinity of the person that God wants me to talk to, right? And so there's a radar with these things, right? If it increases, you're getting closer to that person. If it decreases, that person is walking the other direction. That means turn around, right? And so I asked a simple question. I was like, hey, this is going to sound weird, because to a lot of people who don't know this, it does sound weird. I said, does one of you have a problem with your foot? And it ended up being the actual owner of the store. And she had a problem with her right foot. She was in immense pain. Me and my friend were able to pray for her, and she got healed. And it opened up to like this beautiful encounter where my friend was able to prophesy just a destiny over her life and share some things about actually starting expanding the business in New Mexico. Like he started prophesying this, right? Come to find out, she's actually expanding the business with her brother in New Mexico. And so it was just a whole God thing. So we can feel it. We can see it. I like sharing this testimony because it actually happened with Pastor Rich and Judy. So I'm not lying, right? Because I have witnesses, people. Carly was there. We were at lunch, and one thing that we do sometimes is that we, and I know I've shared this before, but there's other people in here that haven't heard this, is that we ask the waitress when they bring us food that we're going to do, this is what we say. We say, we're going to do something that we always do before a meal. We're going to pray. Is there anything that we could pray for you? All right. And in that moment, she kind of like shrugged us off a little bit. And she was like, you can just say a generic prayer. And we were like, okay. So we prayed. And then us four, me and my wife, and then Pastor Rich and Judy, started having a conversation, right? Well, during this whole conversation, I'm having just this conversation with God, right? And it's an interesting conversation because I have this image in my mind of like a white blood cell. I just see a white blood cell in my mind. It's hard to explain. It's like a vision inside, right? And when she comes and brings the check, I actually got part of this word wrong because I start talking to her, and I thought it was for one of her relatives, her brother. But I start sharing. I was like, "Hey, this might sound weird, but does one of your relatives have a problem like with their white blood cells or with their blood in general?" And she just starts breaking down, this girl, and she ends up actually sitting down with us at the table and explains to us that she has a blood condition. And whereas before she was standoffish, right? She didn't want to communicate. She really didn't want us to pray for her. But then the supernatural revelation of God broke something within her. And she sat down. We were able to pray for her. And I don't know if she got healed, but she met Jesus for sure. You can read it. This is the next one. I don't really get these a lot. This means that sometimes God will give you like a word on the person. So you can see like a word on their forehead or on their chest or something of that nature. I've never got one of those. You can thank it. This is my most common one. I am a deep, deep thinker. I think all the time. My wife can tell you, sometimes I'll be in the house and I'll just be out of it. Like, you know what I mean? I'll just be thinking. I go places in my mind. Good places. Yes. Good places. But I'm a thinker, so God uses my thoughts. He uses my mind. And I'll share a testimony from Brazil. So when we were showing the videos of the healing rooms, the first night I was facilitating them, so I was like getting people in their groups and all that. But then like the third night, I actually hopped in and I wanted to do some ministry too. And there was this woman who was a lawyer, and she starts sharing her story about 2 years ago, she was a notary before, and then she started becoming a lawyer where she was in like family relations. So her field of lawyery, whatever, was in family relations and restoration, reconciliation. So she said for the past 2 years, every time that she's been at work, she's just had so much anxiety and so much panic, right? And so there is another lady that's in our group. She begins to pray for her. And as she's praying for her, I'm just having this conversation with God. And he gives me this thought. He says, ask her about her childhood. Pretty simple. All right. And so when the other lady stopped praying, I just asked her, I said, hey, I asked the interpreter, and she asked her, I said, how was your childhood? And then I asked another thing. I said, was there any trauma involved in your childhood? And she begins to start crying. And she says that when she was a child, that she was raped. And when she got older, she told her parents about it. And her dad believed her, and her mom did not believe her. And so then I asked her, I said, well, have you forgiven your mom? And she said, no. And so I was able to walk her through some forgiveness, and I was able to show her that your job actually isn't the issue. See, you work in an area that deals with family restoration, deals with family issues, right? And it's triggering something from your childhood. Every time you come to work and you deal with these families, it's triggering this unforgiveness that you have in your heart and this trauma that you went through as a child. And I was able to walk her through forgiveness, and it was amazing. And then I went out and bought her like this book about being free from the captivity of trauma. And it was so good. So that's another way. Thank it, right? You can say it. This is a way that kind of bypasses your whole body, right? It's weird. You don't even think it. It just comes out of your mouth. And this doesn't happen to me too much, but it happened to me once with Carly in Barnes & Nobles. We were in Hawaii again, and we were in Barnes & Noble. And I'm sitting there looking at a book, really content because I like to read. And she starts being her extrovert self, very talkative, starts having this conversation with this woman. Meanwhile, I'm just reading. And then I just look at her, and she's like in this conversation. I look back, and then I'm just like, ask her about her knee. Ask her if she has a problem with the knee. And it's like, I didn't even want to do that. You know, it just kind of just flowed out of my mouth, right? And so sometimes you can just say it with kind of out, with not even thinking it. And she ends up getting healed. Her knee ends up getting healed. It was an amazing time. We ended up praying in the middle of Barnes & Nobles. It was good. So you can say it. You can dream it. God will give you dreams. So in the scripture that we just read, it said vision. But I believe it was a dream because it said at night, right? I think it's just in the scripture, it's a language issue. You could dream it. I've never had a dream about a word of knowledge for somebody, but I know many people that do. And then the seventh one is that you can experience it. This one's kind of interesting. It's only happened to me one time. I was with some friends, and we were about to baptize this woman in Hawaii in the ocean. And before we did, we were praying for her. And as we're praying for her, I had this this just weird experience in my soul, right? I actually went into like a vision, and I was in this closet. I was a little girl in this closet, and in this closet there was like this white wedding dress, and I had like all this fear. Like I'm experiencing this whole thing. I had all this fear, and I saw all that, and then I just come out of it. And so as we're praying, I'm like, you know, I share with her, I just had an experience. I just saw this, and I just shared with her everything that I just told you guys. And come to find out, when she was a child, her father would abuse her. And her closet was a safe place that she went to hide from him. And in her closet was her mom's wedding dress that hung up. And this one was really amazing because it was really prophetic in nature, because what we were about to do, we were about to baptize her. So it's like she was actually about to put on that wedding dress, you know, as she comes and meets her bridegroom and gets baptized and into new birth. It was so beautiful. I love that testimony. And this is for everybody, guys. This isn't just for the supernatural Christians. We're all supernatural. If we have come and started this amazing relationship with the Lord, right? We have the Spirit dwelling inside of us, right? We're able to hear his voice in all these ways. This is basics. This is basics, right? And all we have to do is spend time with him. All we have to do is silence out the voices of the world by spending time with him, by shutting things off. Right? It's like, it's so common sense, but yet we trip ourselves up. We trip ourselves up. And so my prayer is that we get with him, we get quiet, and this is for each and every one of us. Everybody can do it. So now we're going to dive right back into our scripture. we're in verses 11 through 24. So after setting sail from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were spending some days in this city. And the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were thinking that there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia. Lydia is actually the first convert of Europe. And she was listening. She was a seller of purple fabrics from the city of Thyatira. I'm saying that right. And a worshiper of God. So that means that she was a Gentile woman who followed the Judaistic laws, right? She followed the Judaistic God. And it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. I think this line right here, the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul, is the most practical advice I could give when sharing the gospel, right? I hear so many stories. I know so many stories, right? And hear so many times the disappointment and of people not able to lead somebody to Jesus or not able to force somebody to come to Jesus, right? And to take all that off your shoulders, it's not our job. It's not our job. Our job is this. Speak. It says things spoken by Paul. Our job is to share the gospel. Simple. In love and in truth. You know, it's sad because, like, there's so many people that's so aggressive, it actually turns people away, right? And it closes their heart off. All we got to do is share and love. Sometimes we just got to sit with them, you know? And it's the Lord's job that opens their heart. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Now, when she and her household had been baptized, I love that too. Over and over and over again in the New Testament, and this is twice in our scripture that I'll get to, is that God doesn't just want you saved. He wants your entire household saved, all right? He wants your mom, he wants your dad, he wants your brothers, he wants your sisters, he wants your cousins, he wants your nephews, he wants your grandkids, he wants your nieces. He wants the entire family, the entire household come to know him and be saved. That's the beauty of Jesus, because he's about a family, right? He's about a family, so why would he just save one of your family members? If he's about family, he knows, I'm going to save families. And I know this is a hard word, because some of us, our whole families aren't saved. I'm included. Nonetheless, his heart is for it. Yes. His heart is for it, and he wants your whole entire household saved. Praise God. She urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, slave woman who had a spirit of divination. So in the Greek, this word actually is pythonus, and so it's python, all right? And so it's a spirit of python. It's an evil spirit that she is under. So today, a lot of this would be like tarot card readers or like, I can't think, the words are... Fortune tellers, there it is. Fortune tellers, people like that, right? Palm readers. And it says, who was bringing great profit to her masters by fortune telling. If I would have just read it, it would have given me the word. She followed Paul and us and cried out repeatedly, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation. What's wrong with that phrase? Does anybody see it? Praise the Lord. It can sound so good, right? These are men that are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation. That is so close, yet so far. He is not a way of salvation. He is the way of salvation. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is the Lamb. He is the Lion. He is the one and only. He is the way of salvation. The only way. Hallelujah. Now she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. That makes me happy. It does. Because, I mean, we all look at Paul like he's a super Christian, right? And I know that there's some people, depending on their theology, that they're like, you can't be annoyed, right? You can't be annoyed and you can't be angry. You can't be this, that, and the other. God gave us emotions, right? It's to come under the Holy Spirit and be yielded to the Holy Spirit and have him guide our emotions. But this man was annoyed. And he was filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit. Comforts my soul. And he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. But when our masters saw that their hope of profit was suddenly gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men, Jews as they are causing our city trouble, and they are proclaiming customs that are not lawful for us to accept or to practice since we are Romans. The crowd joined in an attack against them, and the chief magistrates tore the robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. This is just a couple of things I want to note from that passage that we just read. Number one is that God will lead us into places to test us. Right? On one hand, you know, well, we don't know, we can assume that God kept them from going to Asia because maybe they would have died, maybe they would have been killed. Right? Those are my assumptions. But on the other hand, he led them to a place where they had crazy amount of tests. So many tests. Right? And we see this, I mean, you can look at the life of Jesus, right? As soon as was baptized and the Holy Spirit rested upon him, where did the Holy Spirit lead him? To the wilderness, right? To be tested. And so I think it's good to switch our perception. I was just having a conversation with my wife about somebody that is in our life. And she was just sharing a story. I was taking her and her husband to the airport. She was sharing a story about just her attitude, right? And how, I'm trying to be vague because this isn't actually supposed to be talked about, so I'm like breaking it up. But she was sharing a story about how just a shift in her attitude, a shift in her perception really changed her life, right? The circumstances were the same, but it was literally just an attitude shift. It was her perception shift. And so I think when we go through these trials and when we go through these tests, which we all will, if we would just abide in the Lord and ask him to guide us in our attitudes, in our perception, I think there would be so much change in our lives, right? So much change in our lives. The second point that I want to make is that we need to be aware of who is around us. And some people don't like that. Some people think, you know, accept everybody and everybody's in our... But you can look at Jesus' life. He had circles, right? He had circles of who were really close. He had the 12. He had the 70. He had the masses. He had circles. And so be aware who you let into your life, right? People will actually see the call of God on your life. And I'm talking about the woman with divination is what I'm talking about right now. People will see the call of God on your life, and they will manipulate you. They will get in, they will squeeze their way into your circle, and they will try to manipulate you for their profit and for their gain. Right? And so I don't want us to live in a state of fear. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that we should live in a state of discernment. Like you don't have to open your heart up to everybody. You don't have to open your heart up and let everybody in, right? Use your discernment wisely. And the third one is that these tests, if passed, lead to eternal victories. I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but I'm gonna paraphrase. If you finish up this chapter, you know what happens is that ultimately they get arrested. Right? They get arrested and they're shackled and they're bound and they're in prison. And the angel of the Lord comes to them and takes the shackles off their feet. And then the jailer comes in and he's about to draw a sword and he's about to kill himself. Because we heard a couple weeks ago, maybe it was a couple months ago when I shared on the other, when Peter got released from prison, right? The Roman people killed all the jailers, right? Because they got away and they were released. So he was about to do the same. And Paul was like, no, we're here. We're here. And what happened? He said, what shall I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in Jesus with all your heart. I'm paraphrasing. Put your faith in Jesus. and he gets baptized. But not just him, his whole entire household. That's what I want to end with today. If you have family members that aren't walking with God, I want you to stand. If you have family members that aren't saved, I want you to stand. And see the room. I was going to say go to those people, but it's everybody. It's everybody. And so we're going to pray together. Amen. Lord Jesus. Father, we stand here as the family of God. We stand here in unity. We stand here in adoration, beholding you in this moment, God. Lord, we thank you how you have rescued us from the pits of hell. How you have restored us to fellowship with the Father. How you have brought us out of darkness and into light. We thank you, God, that we are not the person that we were. We have been forever changed. And just like Pastor Rich was talking about, there is a sanctification process that is happening in each and every one of us. And we ask, Lord, that there be a greater level of consecration like ever before in all of our hearts, Lord. But we don't stop there today, Jesus. We don't stop there today, God. We cry out for our families today, God. We cry out for the prodigals to return home. We cry out for your sons and daughters that don't know that they're sons and daughters and are living as orphans. We pray that the spirit of adoption would hit them and that they would come to know this amazing Father, this amazing lover of children, this amazing man named Jesus, that they would come to know that they don't have to hide anymore, that they would come to know that they don't have to run, that they would come to know that they don't need drugs, that they would come to know that they don't need alcohol, that they would come to know that they don't need pornography, that they would come to know that they don't need lust, that they would come to know that everything pure and good is found in your holy name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, impress upon us, impress upon us when we're around them next time. As we were talking about this amazing gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, impress upon us your voice. Give us the rhema word in the exact moment to be able to speak to them, to break the yoke, so that they can come and feel your embrace. We yearn for your voice, God. Because we cannot love them how you do. Only by your Holy Spirit can we love them like you do. I pray that if there was any trauma in any family that's in here, any member that's standing right now, if there's any unforgiveness in any of these hearts, that there will be a yielding to you and that they would forgive. And maybe there's a family member that they haven't been able to approach because there's a past issue. I pray that that would cease right now in Jesus' name. And that they would be able to come to you and go up to them and humble themselves and love them and just embrace them. Sometimes people just need a hug. I pray that the spirit of correction would be broken off in Jesus' name. And that the spirit of exception would be embraced. It is through acceptance. Lord, you accepted me when I was lost in sin. You accepted me when I was broken and I was ashamed and I was guilty and I was stained And you accepted me into this beautiful family. You accepted me into your heart. Father, I pray that we can accept them too. And through that acceptance, God, they will know a love like they've never known before. Jesus, we yearn for you. We yearn for our families to know you. I love the song that we sang this morning. It comes from the book of Malachi. It talks about the hearts of the fathers and the hearts of the mothers and the hearts of the children turning back to one another. This is the fulfillment of the gospel, I believe, is that all the family members who are estranged come back together. The hearts are turned back and they're yielded and they're mended. I just picture it in my mind. It's like a beautiful picture of heaven. Our entire households. God, we thank you for the rock that we get to build our household on, which is you. You are the foundation of it all. Lord, as we go today and as we go about our day, let us think about our families. Let us ask how you want us to love them. Let us embrace and cherish the memories that are going to happen and that will happen in the future. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for how you love us. We bless you. We bless this holy day. In Jesus' name, amen.